I've been driving my preaching from this little book with a word that I found in chapter 1, verse 7. In my New King James, it has the word example. It's the Greek word that would be transliterated or look like type or typos. And so in the first sermon, we talked about the type of people that the Thessalonians were, that they were the believing type. And that was evidenced by their labor of love, by their work of faith, by their patience of hope. It was further evidenced by the fact that they made a radical transformation. It says at the end of the chapter that they turned from idols and they began looking forward to the return of Jesus. All these things gave evidence to Paul, though he was now hundreds of miles away from them, that they were indeed the believing type, that they were examples of others, to others, of what believers should be like. And then we went back in the second sermon and we looked at chapters 1 and 2 and we saw what Paul and his team were like. We looked at the ministering type. And I remind you that he gave two metaphors that are so picturesque at the end of the text, or end of the chapter 2. He said, we, the ministering team, meaning Paul, Titus, Timothy, Luke, were like a nursing mom to you. Talk about a hard one to get your head around. But he says, we were like a nursing mom to you in the way that we devoted our attention to you, the way that we responded to your needs, the way we were gentle. He uses that word. And then he said, we were also like a mentoring father to you. We were there to instruct you, to rebuke you, to give you what you needed. We were there to do those things for you. And so we looked at the ministering type. And then last sermon, we looked at the church type as we looked at chapter 2, the rest of the second half of chapter 2. And as we considered the church type, we saw that the Thessalonians received the word of God. And we talked about the fact that if you're going to be a church, one thing that makes a church different than, say, the Kiwanis Club makes a church different than a township or a community center is that we embrace the word of God. We're going to take the word of God. We're going to make the word of God our rule, our faith, what we do, how we live. We're going to receive the word of God. And the Thessalonians did that. As a group, they were the church type in that they received the word of God. And the end result is that they were marked. Like the Judean church, like the Jerusalem church, they were marked by those around them and they were persecuted by those who disagreed with them. And so they were the church type. And I sometimes, when I read commentators or listen to sermons, and a preacher takes something like what I've been doing for First Thessalonians, and keeps going back to this idea that, you know, the type. Pretty soon I go, you know what? You're probably messing with the text to make your outline look good. But I'm having so much fun. Bear with me. This morning we're going to look at the afflicted type. Look at verse 3 of chapter 3. Paul says that no one should be shaken by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. My number one this morning, the afflicted type, we are appointed to affliction and troubles. We are appointed to affliction and troubles. Troubles come. Afflictions happen. And we can see this throughout this little book. Go back to chapter 1, verse 6. Go back to chapter 1, verse 6, and there he says, Paul said to the Philippians, to the Thessalonians, and you became followers, that's that word type, you became followers of us and of the Lord. Actually, the word type is in verse 7, the example, sorry about that. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. You see, when Paul came to Thessalonica, he had just been thrown out of Philippi. And it wasn't long, but he got thrown out of Thessalonica and sent on to Berea. And he wasn't there very long, but he got thrown out of there. And then some of the team stayed behind, and Paul went on to Athens. And so Paul said to the Thessalonians, you remember that you received the word of God in the midst of much affliction. We were being harassed even as we gave you the word of God. And that doesn't stop there. Verse 2, chapter 2. But even after we had suffered before and were spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. The affliction continued when they got to Thessalonica. Chapter 2, verses 14 to 16, we see this again. Affliction was central to the story of the early church. For you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God which are in Judea in Christ Jesus. For you also suffered the same things from your own countrymen, just as they did from the Judeans, who killed both the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us. And they do not please God and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they may be saved, so as always to fill up the measure of their sins. But wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. And finally, in chapter 3, verse 4, Paul not only says, you received the word of God in afflictions. I was being afflicted as I gave you the word of God. You were just like the Jerusalem church in that you received the afflictions. But then he promises them something. It's not over. You think you've been in trouble before? The trouble's going to continue. Look at chapter 3, verse 4. For in fact, we told you before when we were with you that we would suffer tribulation just as it has happened, as you know. It's part of the story. Don't ever let a false prophet tell you that real Christians have it easy. Or maybe listen to some TV preacher who guilt trips you into thinking that all your troubles are because of your lack of faith. That only if you had enough faith, or maybe sent them $40 and they sent you a green hanky, that somehow all your arthritis and problems would go away. That's a lie. That's a lie. Real, true Christianity has never made those kind of bogus claims. After the great victory of the feeding of the 5,000, do you remember what happened? Jesus sent the disciples to get into a boat and go to the other side, and immediately a storm came up and scared those veteran seamen to their very soul. Jesus sent them into trouble right after a great victory. We always want to know why. Why do afflictions happen? Why do troubles come? Well, sometimes troubles do come because of our sin. Sometimes troubles come because of the fact that we live in a sin-sick world. I think that's the majority. Sometimes trials come because we have been sinned against. Maybe somebody wicked has purposely done something evil to us. Or maybe somebody just was a bumbling doofus and hurt us. Sometimes trials come for the glory of God. Remember the disciples asked Jesus that one time about the man born blind? Why was this done? Was it because of his sin or because of his parents' sin? And Jesus said, neither. It was done so I could heal the guy and you guys could give glory to God. That's why it was done. Sometimes trials come to fire us, to try us for our own sanctification. Sometimes troubles come into our lives to make us like Jesus, to make us holy. But know this, no one knows why trials come in any specific case. No. If you think you know why you've suffered, you're wrong. You're an idiot. You know, we want to know because somehow then if I know why this is happening, it'll make it easier. It doesn't make it easier. Just know that the trials come and it's to the glory of God and be done with it. Don't try to figure it out because you don't know. You are deceiving yourself if you think you do. It's not going to make you better to know. We do know this, though, that as long as we are in this life, there will be trouble. If we are attempting to live for Jesus, there is going to be persecution. And know what he says in chapter 3, verse 3. He says, we are appointed to this. That's what my New King James says. If you're using an ESV today, it uses this word, or an NIV, it says that we are destined. That word has such a fatalistic sound to it, like que sera, sera, like what? Vine's dictionary says the Greek word that is translated here, appointed, or destined in your ESV, is the idea is to set something in a place. Like, you know, you take a pot and maybe put it on this shelf. And I put the pot on this shelf because the plant in the pot doesn't need the full sun this time of year. Or I put the plant in this place because the air conditioning is... I put it in this place with a purpose. And so God has put you into where you are, the marriage that you are in for a purpose, the workplace you are in for a purpose, the child that you have for a purpose, the church you're in for a purpose, the relationships that you have for a purpose. God has appointed, he has set us into a place. He has placed us where we are, and part of that placement is going to be problems. You say, why? Because God has appointed us to trouble? No, he's appointed us to a place. And in this world, as long as we're in this sin, sick, broken world, there will be problems. Sin happens. Cancer will come. Death is guaranteed. Pain and sorrow are part of the package. You will be attacked and misunderstood for doing the right thing. Misunderstandings and false judgments are givens. Let me prove it. 2 Timothy 3:12. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Jesus Christ will suffer persecution. 1 Peter 2:21. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us this example that you should follow in his steps. The afflicted type, number one this morning, know that we are appointed to affliction and troubles. Number two, know this, that our faith carries us through and beyond the afflictions. Our faith carries us through and beyond the afflictions. Did you notice as the text was read, it doesn't jump out real fast because it's just a two-word phrase. But there's a two-word phrase found five times in verses 2 to 10. Your faith. Let me point it out to you at the end of verse 2 and encourage you concerning your faith. About halfway down verse 5, I sent to know your faith. Verse 6, news of your faith. Verse 7, the end of the verse, concerning you by your faith. And then again, verse 10 ends, your faith. 32 times in my New King James Bible, we find this two-word phrase, your faith. Of the 32 times it's in the entire Bible, five of those times are in these verses right here, where Paul is specifically talking about affliction and to be appointed to affliction. And Paul says that the cure for affliction, or that vehicle that will carry you through the affliction, is your faith. Note first, I have three bullet points here. I'm going to spend quite a bit of time on this first one, and there's multiple subpoints there. Number one, on note this about your faith and affliction. Church ministry establishes and encourages our faith concerning our afflictions. Look with me at verse 2. Paul says, when I could no longer stand not knowing what was going on, I sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God and our fellow believer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith. We have an addendum to the storyline of Acts chapter 17 here in these two verses. Remember, I already said that Paul first came over to Macedonia and he landed in the city of Philippi. He got thrown out of there in Acts 16. He goes on to Thessalonica, he gets thrown out of there. Goes down to Berea, he gets thrown out of there. He goes down to Athens because they've determined that Paul's the problem. You know, everywhere Paul goes, there's conflict. And the reason is because he was such a bold preacher of the truth. So Paul goes down to Athens, where he has that famous debate about the unknown God with the philosophers at the whatever that word is, okay? I can't say it right now. Maybe if I looked here in my... Paul then goes on to Corinth. But before he leaves for Corinth, Timothy catches up with him, and Timothy has been in Berea. He gets down there to Athens, and the conversation must have gone something like this. So how is everybody doing in Berea? Oh, they're doing great. The church has been established. Things are going well. Oh, that's great. What about Thessalonica? Well, we're not sure. We left Berea and came down here to see you. Oh, boy, I wonder what's going on in Thessalonica. Those guys, we were only able to be there for a matter of a few weeks. I'm really concerned. do you really think they got it? Do you really think they're believers? They had so many questions. And when we left them, it was with bereavement. It was with grief that we had to be yanked out of there. Timothy, you got to go back. And so I see, they didn't travel by walking much because that would have been thieves and much danger. So I imagine Timothy getting on a boat there at Athens, bumping along every port all the way back up the Aegean Sea, finally get to the top port. There he gets out and he walks all the way to Thessalonica. He finds the Christians there and finds out that indeed it took. They were believers. They were doing the church thing. And he confirmed them and he preached to them. But he didn't stay very long because he had to report back to Paul. And then Timothy got back on the boat, walked back to the Aegean Sea, and he bumps along and it hits every port. This had to take weeks, maybe even a couple of months. Finally, he gets down to Corinth, the isthmus at the very bottom of the Greek peninsula, and there is Corinth, and now he gets into Corinth, and Timothy's never been there before in his life. He grew up over in Asia Minor. And so now he goes around, he looks and finds the Jewish synagogue, and then he finds out where the news is about the Christians, because there's talk, there's got to be talk. And sure enough, that leads him to Aquila and Priscilla's house, where he finds Paul. Maybe Paul was reading the Old Testament. Maybe Paul was talking to somebody. Maybe Paul was in the middle of a sermon. Maybe Paul was just sitting there with his tent making friends, making tents. But when Timothy showed up, you know there was a Q&A that lasted for hours. So how are they doing? How is this one doing? How is this one doing? And Timothy received the nth degree from Paul as he found out, as Paul was refreshed in his spirit by everything that he learned about what was going on in Thessalonica. That's really the gist of chapter 3 here of 1 Thessalonians. And note what Paul says about Timothy. First, I see in verse 2 that he says he was there. He was our brother. He says there was a strong relationship. He was part of the team. And then notice next in the verse that he was a minister of God. Though Paul was Timothy's earthly mentor, make no mistake, Timothy worked for God and was doing God's work. But I want the third part, the third thing. Not only was Timothy a brother and a minister of God, he said he was our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith. Timothy labored in the gospel of Christ. To me, that means that he was a diligent preacher of the good news. So that's who Timothy was. He was a brother. He was a minister. He was a preacher of the gospel. But note what he did, the next two things. He established them. It means to fix or make sure. Timothy's preaching was going to put the Thessalonians on a sure foundation. Timothy's preaching was going to keep them from flitting from one thing to another, from one stupid, dumb idea to another, from being immature and wavering like the wave of the sea. And then not only was Timothy going to establish them with his preaching, but he was going to encourage them. The King James says comfort. You Bible students will remember the Greek word paraklete. This is the verb of that noun, parakleo. It is the one who comes alongside to help, like in John chapter 14. Timothy's preaching was going to come alongside of the Thessalonians in their afflictions for the purpose of picking them up. So Timothy was Paul's brother, God's minister, and a preacher of the gospel to the Gentiles. And in his preaching, he was going to establish and encourage them. How would you describe yourself, as encouraged or discouraged? How would you describe yourself, as comforted or restless? If you say discouraged and restless, my friend, perhaps you need more preaching. Because that's what Paul said in their afflictions that they needed. That Timothy was sent as a preacher of the gospel, that his brother Timothy was sent as a preacher of the gospel to establish them, to make them firm, and then to comfort them. Discouraged, defeated people often stay away from church because they are discouraged and defeated. You know what drives more people from church than anything else? Shame. Oh, everybody's going to be wondering what's going on. Everybody, there's one person who told me that, you know why they don't come back to Trinity Baptist Church? Because when they come back, everybody asks them how they're doing. Oh, and it's so embarrassing. So they just stay away, so you don't ask them. You know, shame on you for showing love and concern to them when they come to church. Discouraged and discontented people often stay away, and then they become more discouraged and more defeated. We all need preaching. We all need this fellowship. Paul says to them, that the afflicted type, that we are appointed to afflictions and troubles. We see that our faith carries us through that, and our faith does that through a ministry that establishes and encourages us. Notice, secondly, in these verses that our faith is what Satan wants to attack. If Satan can defeat your faith, he will make you doubt. If he can keep you from trusting, then the gospel is useless. The very power of the gospel is found in the faith that is exercised that God gives us. Look at verse 3. For this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter had tempted you, and our labor might be in vain. Paul was... He was concerned that maybe they weren't saved. As a pastor, as a church, those of you who have been around for a while, you know who's not here today. There are some people that are on our membership roll that are not here today. Why aren't they here? Were they saved? In Matthew chapter 13, there's the story of the seed and the soil. And remember the seed that falls on the hard hearts? And Satan comes and snatches that seed away because it wasn't exercised with faith. Our faith carries us through and beyond our afflictions. Firstly, our church ministry establishes and encourages our faith. Our faith is the target. And then notice our faith, my third of those bullet points, our faith is an encouragement to others in their afflictions. Did you know that? That the fact that you're here today, that the fact that you obey, that the fact that you serve God is a blessing and an encouragement to somebody else. You know, we talk about the fact that people have been married for, 148 years. And we go, wow, that's an amazing thing when somebody has stayed together year after year after year. It's an encouragement, is it not? To know that people serve God. We need each other. We need the church. We need the relationships in the church. Let me read verses 6 through 10. But now that Timothy has come to us, imagine that journey that I described from you and brought us good news because of your faith and love, and that you always have good remembrance of us. Paul was just overwhelmed with joy at the idea that the Thessalonians were still bubbling about Paul's visit there, and that they were greatly desiring to see us, just like I want to go see you. Therefore, brethren, in all of our affliction and distress, we were comforted. That's that paraclete again. Concerning you, the faith of the Thessalonians came alongside of Paul and blessed him, encouraged him. We were comforted concerning you by your faith. And then look at verse 8. Don't minimize. This is an awesome verse. For now, Paul, live if you stand fast in the Lord. Children, you want to be blessed to your dad on this Father's Day? Then obey God. Then live in the faith. Paul says here that, you know what? I live. I actually get my sustenance, the air I breathe, the food I eat, the rest I enjoy, if you Thessalonians obey God. That's what you can do. Just obey God. Just do the right thing. For what thanks can we render to God for you? For all the joy with which we rejoice for your sake before our God night and day, praying exceedingly that we may see your faith and perfect what is lacking in your faith. That's a question, verses 9 and 10. It starts with that preposition, for what thanks can we render to God? And then he ends it this, he wants to go see them. He says, what more is there? What better thing could God give us than the opportunity to go up there and see you guys and preach and know that you are still serving God? Yeah, our faith is an encouragement. When you serve God, when you obey God, when you do that which is right, you are a blessing to everyone else who is in the faith. We are appointed to troubles, but we walk by faith through those troubles, and we will continue to do so until, number three, the perfecting of our faith has come to its end in the coming of Jesus. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound. This is starting to sound doxological like Paul does sometimes. And make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you. So that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness. Oh, verses 11, 13 could be a whole sermon by itself. Before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. This is the third time he's brought this up. Look back at chapter 1, verse 10, where he says, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus who delivers us from the wrath to come. At the end of verse chapter 2, he says this, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? At the end of each chapter, at the end of each idea that Paul teaches, he keeps coming back to this idea of the second coming. And we're going to take a whole sermon and talk about the perusal, the rapture, the snatching away, the glorious appearing of Jesus in chapters 4 and 5. Two sermons from now, we'll start doing that. But it is the emphasis of this book that everything Paul says, and in this chapter, chapter 13, I think it's fitting for me to end it this way and say, the perfecting of our faith, the afflictions that we have will be culminated when Jesus comes. Dr. Olala always said about trouble and things happening, he would say this, not in this pre-rapture state, not as long as we're in this life. Sometimes the day seems long. Our trial's hard to bear. We're tempted to complain, to murmur, and despair. But Christ will soon appear to catch his bride away, all tears forever gone in God's eternal day. At times the sky seems dark, with not a ray of light. We're tossed and driven on, no human help in sight. But there is one in heaven who knows our deepest care. Let Jesus solve your problems. Just go to him in prayer. Life's day will soon be o'er. All storms forever past. We'll cross the great divide to glory, safe and last. We'll share the joys of heaven, a harp, a home, crown, the tempter will be banished. We'll lay our burdens down. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. It will be worth it all when we see Christ. One look at his dear face, all afflictions, sorrows, troubles will erase. So gladly run the race till we see Christ. You say, Pastor, are you going to let us sing it? You bet. Devin, come up here. And musicians, if you'd return. God bless your word. And we know that there's trouble in this life, and we know that the resolution of trouble in this life is our faith, that our faith would be firm in the word of God, and that we would walk through the known afflictions, not trying to figure out where they came from or why they're here, but just knowing they are here and letting the church and the word of God encourage us and take us through them, and knowing that one day all this garbage is going to be gone forever. And that day will be the day when we see Jesus. Amen.